I was going to do a really funny thing today. I was going to tell you a funny story. I was going to entertain you. I was going to be rollicking and extremely funny. And I tried. God knows I tried 4 times to record this show. And I listened to it. And sometimes, you know, you're really amazed at how terrible you can be. Sometimes I am really amazed at how bad I can suck. And I throw my headphones down in exasperation and frustration, and I wonder, why isn't this coming out right? Why can't I do this? It's a simple story, funny story of going into Mennonite country, listening to the Mennonite teacher, learning a lesson about God. Well, and that's the fact. It is a simple story. But I strove to make it a funny story, an entertaining story. It's so much fun to make fun of people, you know. It's fun for me. Make fun of the Mennonites and the perspiration stains on the man's blue shirt. His whiteboard, you know, that's the only kind of board Mennonites can use. His black marker. His family's children lined up like the Von Trapp kids. Except, of course, he didn't have a whistle. He had a riding crop. Ho, ho, ho. Terrible. Just terrible. I was going to tell you how the perspiration stains on the armpit of his shirt were shaped like churches. They weren't. But I thought that was pretty funny to make that up, throw that in there. I listened to it. I tried it. I tried it 4 times. Each time I listened to it, it kept getting worse. I kept flailing away at it. And now here I am, all done in. And I think that God's telling me through this that I'm supposed to tell it to you how it was without embellishing it, without poking fun at a sincere Mennonite family, at a sincere Mennonite teacher, at my sincere wish to acknowledge the invitation of a woman we knew to go to this Bible study, to do right by everyone, to show up, to try to get something out of it, to tell God, here I am, let something happen here that I can use, give me something I can use, in spite of what I know is probably going to happen here. And God has done that. And so I'm going to tell it to you straight. Or try to. We went to Mennonite country at the invitation of a friend. And a sincere young man, probably in his 30s, his beautiful wife and their children, came to this house, which was situated in the rolling countryside. That was a beautiful trip down rolling hills. Mennonite Amish country. My wife and I went down. And the man and his wife and his children sang hymns. He had a guitar. He slung it around his neck. We all sat down in fold-out chairs. And he began to sing with his wife and children. And they sang beautiful hymns. I didn't know any of the words. Melody did. She sang, I sat there and marveled. I did. I look back now and I was thankful that such a family could exist on this crazy planet in such an insane age of time, that a man could be in control of his children and have a wife by his side and sing hymns to the glory of God. But then the teaching began. And this man raised his arms in silence. This is where I insert my funny joke. He indeed had perspiration stains on his blue Mennonite shirt, but they weren't shaped like churches. He began to draw something on the whiteboard. It was a square. And he began filling in the square with little boxes. He announced that this was a chart of the perfection of Jesus Christ. It did look like a chart, any chart that you would see in a boardroom. Then he took his black marker and he made a star in the upper right corner of the chart. This is where I insert my really funny joke. When he asks if anybody knows what the star is, one person raises their hand and says, "It's the Star of Bethlehem." And he says, "Wrong. It's a Chrysler hood ornament. Wrong." Of course, this was his wife and child. Funny, huh? Well, he announced that the star represented the perfection of Christ, and that the chart, the graph is what it was, the graph represented where each of us might be in our relationship to Jesus Christ. How far along were we on the graph? Where was our grade in relation to that star? How far along were each of us toward the perfection of Christ? How holy were we compared to His holiness? And I do remember this, the palpable uncomfort in the room as the man pointed his finger at us and said, "Where are you? Where are you?" Oh, I had the accent down in my previous four attempts at this. "Where are you? Where are you?" It was really funny. Where were we in relationship to the perfection of Christ? And as each of us glanced at that graph, we knew we were all falling short. And there was a palpable air of condemnation in the room. There was squirming in the seats. Oh, I had that down too. This is what the squirming sounded like. It was more like... And then came the ultimate challenge, which was a King James quote of Matthew 5:48. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Be ye perfect, he said. Be ye perfect, he said it again. Now this is where I'm supposed to insert the quiet sobs that went throughout the room that I heard as everyone shook in their various states of condemnation, their various states of guilt, their various states of falling short of the perfection and the holiness of Jesus Christ, of that Chrysler hood ornament up there. Of course, there weren't any quiet sobs. That was an embellishment. It was dramatic enough as it was, because without the sobs and without the shifting in the seats, one could feel the depression settle over the group, including the teacher himself, because this is what happened next. Well, I do have to tell you this, that I had brought my concordant literal New Testament, and when I heard him bellowing this verse, he gave the reference, Matthew 5:48, I knew something sounded wrong to me. "Be ye therefore perfect." It didn't sound right to me. I was pretty sure it was a mistranslation. So I whipped out my CLNT, turned to Matthew 5:48, and sure enough, I saw it. It was a total misquote, and I could not believe the difference between what he was saying and what I was seeing on the page. And you could just sense that he knew that something had come over us and that we were wallowing. I don't know how he wanted us to react. Well, maybe I do know. Because after this meeting, he, shall I say, accosted me. Why me? I don't know. Maybe he saw me diving for my scriptures during his rant. In any case, I had an encounter with this Mennonite man after the meeting. He approached me and he said to me, "No one got very excited about my talk." And I said, "Do you want to know why?" He said, "Sure." And I told him. And tomorrow I'm going to tell you what I told him, and we're going to look into this passage and You're going to see something about perfection. You're going to see something about holiness that is going to make you realize for sure that holiness and perfection are relaxing enterprises. Hard to believe, but true. I'm Martin Zender. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.